today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
I've called this message to see and to hear Jesus. You find it difficult? I find it difficult sometimes, every day, to keep my eyes on Jesus, to see him. Every day, to hear him. But that's what we want.
Welcome to The Verdict, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor John Monroe. We live in a noisy world. So many voices are competing for our attention and offering endless options for entertainment. So where is your focus? Today on The Verdict, we're continuing in Matthew and realizing the importance of seeing and hearing Jesus and understanding what it takes to obey and follow him. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
Last time we journeyed with Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. We wanted to see and hear the Lord Jesus. To see and hear him is to be forever changed. The more we see the Lord, the more we listen to him, the more there will be a supernatural change which impacts all of life. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So let's go again to the Mount of Transfiguration to see the Lord and to hear him. We live in a noisy world, and it's difficult to have times of silence, of meditation, of prayer. This week, try to find a quiet spot and read the account of the Transfiguration in Matthew 17. See the Lord, hear the Lord, obey the Lord. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I'll make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking. Here's a divine interruption. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Matthew's a good writer, isn't he? We want, first of all, to see the Lord Jesus. Peter, James, and John have this incredible experience of witnessing the transfiguration of Jesus. Now look back at verse 28 of chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 28, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here," notice what he's saying, "there's some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now what on earth can that mean? Some say this refers to the resurrection of Jesus or his ascension or Pentecost. But I think the way that Matthew has laid out his material makes it pretty clear, I think, that verse 28 refers to the transfiguration, which in turn is a foretaste, a foreshadowing of the second return of Jesus Christ. And so Peter and James and John, here they are. They are, to use the words of verse 28, they are standing here, and they are about to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Not the full display of it, but a, can we say, a sneak preview? A foretaste, a foreshadowing of a greater, most glorious event. When the power and glory and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ will be evident to all as he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Habakkuk says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine this world filled with the glory of God? That's what's going to happen at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the disciples had struggled with this idea that the Messiah would die. We saw that in chapter 16, verse 21. from that time, that's after Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. After that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So the disciples, a crucified Messiah doesn't make sense. But they had to understand that before the coming of this glorious kingdom of God in its full manifestation, before that's going to happen, the Messiah, God incarnate, is going to die on a cross. But now, after explaining to the disciples that he is going to die, that he must suffer, of course he must suffer. There is no other way for your sins to be forgiven. He must suffer, but first, before the coming glory, there must be the cross. And Jesus graciously gives his disciples this foretaste of his coming glory. There is a cross, that is true, Jesus is saying. But there's coming glory. First the cross, and then the glory. And he's going to give them this taste, this sneak preview of the coming glory of the Lord. Remember the old song, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." We want to get a taste of heaven. I want us to behold God. I want us to see our Lord Jesus Christ. That when I keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm changed. I see the world. I see my priorities. I see my values changed to bring them in line with the will of God, to see Jesus. But not only are we to see Jesus, we're to hear and obey the Lord Jesus. Did you notice that rather than listening to Jesus, Peter spoke? Sound familiar? We were singing, "Be still, be still." Do you find it difficult to be still? We're very uncomfortable with silence, aren't we? We're bombarded with noise and opinions. Here are Moses and Elijah, symbolizing the law and the prophets, and they're talking with Jesus. You see, what were they talking about? Matthew doesn't really tell us, but Luke does. Luke says that we're talking about the departure of Jesus. The word in Greek is exodus. Second book of the Bible is Exodus. Why Exodus? Exodus is the leading out of the people. They were talking, could you imagine a conversation between the Lord Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and they're talking about his departure. The disciples don't want to hear about the cross, but Moses and Elijah with Jesus are talking about the cross. And the disciples have to understand that central to the mission of Jesus is the cross. These two Old Testament saints are talking with Jesus about the death of the Messiah for the sins of his people. Moses and Elijah themselves had unique deaths. Moses is the leader from Egypt. He leads the people right to the very border of the promised land. He looks out and he sees Jericho, and he looks west and there he can almost see the Mediterranean Sea. He looks to the north and he looks to the south and he sees this land flowing with milk and honey, but he never gets into the land. The Lord buried him in the land of Moab, but no one knows the place, the Bible says, the place of his burial to this day. God buried him. Where? We don't know. That's not the point. God buried him. Elijah is one of two men who never died. Elijah, how did he leave this world? Well, he left it with chariots of fire. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Imagine watching someone in the parking lot and you see the chariots of fire and the horses going up to heaven. That's how Elijah did. A strange entrance into heaven. We all would like that. It's a figure, I think, of the rapture, isn't it? Going into the presence of God without death, that was Elijah. So here are these great men. And rather than listening to their conversation, Peter speaks. Luke says in Luke 9:33, not knowing what he said. You ever been like that? Something wonderful is going around you, and instead of listening, you're speaking. You're talking about yourself. Oh, it's pretty good to be here. Peter, stop. God tells the disciples, he's telling you and me, what does he say? This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Stop talking. Be still and listen to God. See, those following Jesus have to have humble attitudes, listening. We have to have humble actions, obeying. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the important characteristics of the authentic follower of Jesus Christ is that we listen to his voice. Listen. Take time out. Switch off the television. Switch off your iPhone. Oh, really? Yes, switch it off. Go a walk. Sit down under a tree. Get out in the porch, wherever it is. Get a quiet place and open your Bible and listen to Jesus. Do you ever do that? See, most of us, like Peter, we speak too much and too quickly. We need to improve our listening skills. Are you listening to God? Do you come here today with a desire to hear God? We believe that God speaks to us through this book. The question is, are you listening? Do you come to see the Lord? Do you come to listen to him? See, God's truth isn't what you think or I think. It's not what you feel or I feel. It's what God says in his inerrant word. God is speaking. Here's the young boy, Samuel, under the mentorship of Eli, the old priest, in the tabernacle in Shiloh. And God speaks to Samuel, but Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice. And he has a conversation with Eli, and Eli says, now, if that happens again, I want you to say this, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's good, isn't it? You get up this morning, so you're going to bed, you take your Bible, and you read a few verses, a chapter. And could you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Hears, yes, but in a sense of obeying. Here I am, Lord. I'm in a very tough situation. Don't know if I can get another day. I need your help. I need your strength. Anyone ever feel that? I've been feeling this. I don't know if I can get through another day. This is hard. This situation is hard. Some of you are dealing with a terminal illness. Some of you are dealing with a very difficult family issue. Some of you are dreading to go to work tomorrow because you've got an impossible situation or your business is falling down. And you think, I don't know if I can go on. Yes, you can. If you stop and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Today, Lord, I want to do your will. Today, through your Spirit, through your word, I want to get my eyes on Jesus. I want to see him, and I want to hear him. And so, as we look back at the text, we're learning, there is no glory of the kingdom of God without the cross. There is no glory without suffering. First the cross, then the crown. First the suffering, and then the glory. First the humiliation, and then the exaltation. See, Peter wants the glory, but he doesn't want the cross. He wants, we read in verse 4, to make three tents, three little tabernacles, one for each of them, but he needs to be reminded, as the Father reminds him, no, my son is unique. This is my well-beloved son. Great lawgiver Moses, great prophet Elijah, but they are no peers to my son. There is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him. No one can share the glory of the Lord Jesus. It is, as we read in verse 8, Jesus only. We'll make tabernacles for him. Interesting, John, in John 1 verse 14, uses this word for tabernacle, words for tent, when he describes the Lord. it says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt, pitched his tent. It's the same word as tent here. That when our Lord Jesus Christ came, he dwells with us. And Peter is looking for this glorious kingdom to be set up immediately on earth. But before the exaltation and the return in glory, first Jesus must suffer. Read with me now very quickly in verse 9. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Then why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" Malachi said that in Malachi chapter 4. Elijah's got to come first before the day of the Lord. So I don't understand this. You're talking about your coming in glory, but Elijah's got to come first. He answered, "Elijah does come and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they didn't recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." There we have it again. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. Yes, the long-promised Messiah must suffer first. He must go the way of the cross. The road of glory, says one commentator, leads through the valley of suffering. Do you understand what the gospel means? The Lord Jesus Christ came. Why must he suffer? Why was it essential that Jesus Christ must die on a cross? Because there is no other way for your sins to be forgiven. We are guilty men and women before a holy God. We were singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Do you think you could go into the presence of God by yourself? You say, "Well, actually, I've been a member of church for 30 years. I'm presently an elder. Don't you see the badge? I mean, do you think God is impressed by these things? Good things? None of us, however good in human terms, however zealous, however faithful to our responsibilities, not one of us by ourselves could stand before a holy God. We need a mediator. We need someone who has atoned for our sin. We need someone to stand between a holy God and ourselves, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator between God and man. He is the perfect peacemaker, the bridge maker, so that with all of my sin, I come to Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again, and I receive him as my Savior, and now, the Bible says, I'm clothed with his righteousness. And I come before God not saying, "Well, actually, I was a pastor for several years, Lord. That's got to count for something." Say, "No, you're a sinful man, John Monroe. I know your heart. I know every word that you said. I know all of your past, things you've forgotten about. I know." No, my only plea, my only argument is this, that Jesus died for me, that I come in his righteousness. And after this mountaintop experience, the disciples are confused and ask Jesus about Elijah, who should have come. And Jesus is saying, "Look, Elijah has come in the person, in the form and spirit of John the Baptist." And notice what they did to him. They took off his head. And so I don't want you to tell others about this until after the resurrection. Verse 9, he is going to suffer. And therefore, is it not all that surprising that he calls us to deny self, take up our cross and follow him? And sometimes that involves suffering. I've known people who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and as they started to follow Christ, life was much more difficult for them now than it was in the past. Why? Their friends want to bring them back into that party attitude. Their family sometimes think they're strange. Their friends at work say, "Well, you're not as much fun as you used to be." And there's sometimes persecution. And to follow Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're going to have a problem-free, comfortable life. Not at all. This is the realism of the gospel. that as you follow Jesus Christ, it often involves suffering, but be assured, you have eternal life and there is absolute certain glory. There is no way that all of the forces of death and hell can stop our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ coming back for his bride, catching us up, whether through the rapture or death, to be forever with him. Meantime, he deserves, doesn't he, your total allegiance, your obedience and worship. Keep looking to Jesus, whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're in the valley. See him. Hear him. Obey him. Follow him. Be prepared to suffer for him. Glory is coming. Our hearts are glad, for we have seen the Lord, the living Lord, victorious from the grave. Oh, joy to see him. Joy to hear his word. Our Lord and Master, strong to bless and save. I'm saying to you, get your eyes on Jesus. I'm saying to you, listen to him. And if you've never known him as your Savior, come to him. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. And you will have the wonderful joy of following our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your friend, as your Redeemer, and the one with whom we shall spend all of eternity. Father, we thank you for this passage. We realize we're only touching the fringes of his garment as we think of your glory, as we think of the magnificence and brilliance of our matchless Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that when he came to this world, he didn't come to condemn us. He's all glorious, he's all holy, but he came to save us. He dwelt with us, he pitched his tent with us so that we may be redeemed, that our sins may be forgiven, and that we would be adopted into your family, and that we would become more and more like Jesus as we await that great day when we shall see him and we will be like him, for we'll see him as he has. Meantime, Father, help us. Strengthen us now in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled, See and Hear Jesus. If you missed any of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website to get caught up at theverdict.org. There you can find past programs, John's Avizandum Weekly podcast, and other resources, including John's newest booklet called Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. This relevant resource will help you explore biblical truth related to pivotal subjects like marriage, gender, and sexuality, so you can better navigate these important issues with grace and truth. We're offering this helpful resource absolutely free as a thank you to our listeners. Just go to our new website at theverdict.org and request your copy of Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. And before we end today's program, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today to support this ministry. Whether it's $5, $50, less or more, it's easy to give today when you visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast. Just open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe or follow to get access to all of our new content. And now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? When did you last take time to find a quiet spot, pray, open your Bible, and ask God to speak to you through his word? How wonderful to know that the word of God is living and that God will speak to us. Be like Daniel and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Perhaps your Christian life may be stale or routine. You need a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus. Don't miss next time as we see the disciples coming down the mount and experiencing spiritual failures and difficulties.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.